welcome to this evening's Policy Scrutiny Group. This meeting will be recorded and the sound subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Thank you very much. Apologies, please.
I haven't had any apologies, Chair.
Thank you. Minutes from previous meeting. Have we got any issues with the minutes from the previous meeting? Can I sign them off?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you very much. Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. Are there any on the items that we're discussing tonight? Thank you. There's been no declaration of party whip. And no questions under scrutiny procedure. Right, performance scrutiny panel update. I'd like to welcome Councillor Hilary Fryer and also say that Councillor Fryer, if you would like to stay for the next item, you would be more than welcome because that feeds into your area as well.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I appreciate it, does.
And Councillor Fryer is ably supported by Adrian Ward. Thank you.
And also, if I have any further questions, my young lady friend over there will come and help me if there are questions I can't ask. Thank you very much for inviting me and also for inviting me to stay for the next item. Unfortunately, I have two parish council meetings tonight that I have to attend, so I will alert you to that. Now, I think this is a report that was asked to come forward to you every 6 months, which is really an update of the current position regarding the work at the Performance Scrutiny Panel. The Performance Scrutiny Panel, as all panels, but is a very important panel because it does look at exactly what it says on the tin. It is the performance of the Council as it fits in with the corporate plan. And also we do have the availability to and the right to ask for a lot more detailed information and, if necessary, call upon other witnesses or other people of expert advice to give us. It's a very busy panel. We have, I think, a lot of it comes through yourself on the Scrutiny Management Board as to what topics we should cover, but we also cover our own. I'd sort of, Adrian will fill me in and any questions you have, but basically we have been looking at recently and we asked for further information is for example the underspend in landlord services relating to the budget for electrical upgrades. We asked for an explanation of why there is an underspend in neighbourhood services relating to community grants, and we also asked for detailed breakdown of food complaints and the service requests. So basically we're trying to understand how the performance is. What we did do, I became chair of this panel just over a year ago, and what I did ask was that any information we were given was as up to date as possible. Sometimes we were looking at information that was provided to us that was at least getting on for two quarters in arrears, and that's not really helpful. So we did ask that it was brought forward, and that I have to say, as far as possible, that has all come to us much more readily and much more promptly. So it is efficient scrutiny rather than keep looking backwards. We're also now going to one of the other things we've asked to do, because we asked for other things that can come to the panel, but that goes through Scrutiny Management Board, who decide whether it comes to us or to yourselves or to the Cabinet or anything. One of the things we are looking for is to receive a quarterly report if the Council's housing land supply falls below 5.5 years, and to add a performance indicator to monitor the 5-year housing supply figure to the Council business plan from 2019-20. This affects all councillors right across the board, and it is something we have to do. We've also looked during the year at the performance of a number of other matters, housing repairs, housing rent arrears, online customer service, delivery of climate and local plan, supporting Leicestershire families, tenancy support, light bulb model, homeless strategy 2018-20, and empty home strategy, the housing strategy, and the Charnwood Lottery. The Charnwood Lottery was going to come to us for a full performance scrutiny just a couple of one of our last meetings, but because it's not done its full 6 months yet and we want accurate figures and we want to know, that has been delayed to another a future meeting. Adrian.
I think Chair Councillor Fryer has given a very thorough summary and I have nothing else to add, but obviously if there are any questions between myself and Councillor Fryer, I'll do my best to answer them.
Thank you. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. Can I ask you just to describe some of the outcomes of your requests for further information? You mentioned, I think, three requests particularly you had made, and also really the outcomes of the other issues you looked at. Have they all been totally satisfactory and therefore you require nothing further, or are you again looking for some more outcomes from that work?
We did go back for further information.
Yes.
This is what we're trying to do, is to get more up-to-date information. I think Adrian would have probably helped me a bit more on this. I have to say, Chair, with great respect, I only got back late last night, and also I've had no heating for 2 weeks, so I'm not sure whether I'm really up to scratch, but Adrian would.
I think, Chair, maybe a couple of examples would be the panel have started to review policies and strategies about halfway through their life cycle. So the zero waste strategy was something I think the first one of these that the panel looked at. So Matt Bradford, head of Open Spaces and that manages that contract, came along, spoke to the panel, spoke about the changes in government policy that were in the pipeline. And I think the panel supported the view that that strategy probably needed a review, and I understand that may be on your own work programme at some point, because SNP, I think, as a result of the work performance panel, felt that policy did need reviewing. So at the last meeting, we did a similar thing with, my mind's gone blank, it was a housing policy.
Yes.
And we decided with that, I think the panel decided with that particular one, that everything was on track and there was no need to revisit that policy. So I think that
homelessness,
that mid-year, that was it. Yeah, thank you, Councillor Hunt. That mid-year review of policies and strategies is something I think that's useful and has added value, particularly in terms of the zero waste strategy. Although I suspect the officers were already aware that probably needed an update anyway, but it brought councillors into that process as well. And the other thing perhaps, Chair, worth noting is the performance panel is really a monitoring panel, so it monitors performance against PIs, it monitors progress against business plan objectives. So most of its work is probably reporting by exception, so if there are concerns or issues, they will be referred back up to Scrutiny Management Board rather than, perhaps as Councillor Shepherd has suggested, delivering outcomes. It's not really a lot of work panel does. It's perhaps not outcome focused, it's monitoring rather than changing things.
Thank you. Anybody else? No? So I'll jump in there. Yes, you can.
Thank you. Thank you for those answers. I guess really I'm looking at that first question we have on page 3. What difference will scrutiny make? And I don't put into your map, I don't understand myself. But I guess the answer is the difference you're making is to either provide the council as a whole with assurance that all is well, or if all is not well, you're making suggestions for action to be taken. And I guess you're going to be looking for report back on the actions, aren't you, when you're ready to do that? Yes. I'm trying to get clear in my head the answer to that question, really.
Yes, and thank you, Councillor Shepherd, and I think also your next agenda item, the performance management guide, there's a lot of information in there which is sort of comes over to the performance side. And of course also, as we are all aware, that the structure of scrutiny panels is likely or may change in the next few months, and so that was another time to revisit these items and look at whether there are smarter and more, shall we say, ways of doing things that result in good things. I think the main thing is that we do have the opportunity, as Adrian has said, is that we are looking at the performance. We're not against KPIs, and we're not deciding on the operational side. We're not deciding on what panels we should do. We can put forward suggestions. I mean, as this this panel knows, it's the SMB that does look at which scrutiny looks at which scrutiny group or panel looks at things. I mean, we did ask for other things to be scrutinised, if we could scrutinise, but the SMB decided that it wasn't within the remit of the performance scrutiny, but would rather go to policy or to SMB.
Thank you.
The policy scrutiny group in December put together some questions, which I think you've put some yourself, and obviously they've been answered. We've got the question on page 14, second box down. It was observed that the action to deliver the customer services programme in line with the project milestones was amber, and yet no further meetings have been held or arranged. From the reply, I still haven't understood fully why this is. Sorry. Yes, it is. Apologies. You see, you need to stay for the next item, don't you?
I couldn't possibly comment.
No, all right.
I would prefer
yes,
to be
is.
Here or at the
No, that's fine. And also, the next item is I need some clarification on some piece of work from Suzanne on there. And I do apologise, I've got further ahead of me than I wanted. So, is there any more questions on the performance?
No,
thank you.
There
you go. Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much.
Adrian Ward, you are
thank you.
Excused.
Thank you.
Right, for this item we have the Chief Exec, what does he say? Jeff Parker, Leader Jonathan Morgan, and Suzanne Kinder. And I really congratulate myself that I didn't call you Catherine then, because I used to work with one. Catherine Kinder. Yeah. Right, and I've told Catherine that you'll be able to explain the nuts and bolts. So that. That you'll be able to explain the nuts and bolts of something that I was looking at Spot. Spotlight. I've got no idea about it at all, none whatsoever, and I was so nervous to admit that I knew nothing about it, but fortunately not does anybody else, so I feel a lot happier now. Right, so if you could Who's going to present this?
If I may, Chair,
you
I'll
can.
Start.
Very Jeff good.
Harper, Chief Executive, just give you a kind of brief overview of what we've got in front of you tonight. Obviously, the covering report, as we're covering two issues, really. We've got the draft business plan for the new year, starting in April, and that's en route to Cabinet in March. But also, I think the report sets out what the overall approach to business planning is. There's an appendix there, Appendix A, which sets that out. But I'm going to focus on the business plan just for a moment. And just to say, and I think it is in the approach document, this is the final business plan, if you like, of the current set. Because our corporate plan is entering its fourth and final year, so this is business plan number four. And the way that we prepare business plans, obviously, is always annual, and its purpose is really to bring the actions and requirements out in the corporate plan into a programme, if you like, of work under each of the themes and by service. It's supported by team plans, which are more operational documents at individual service level, so lots of things that the council does you won't see referred to in the business plan. This is intended mainly to relate to the sort of higher level strategic things that are set out in the corporate plan. So when we've put this together, I say we advise Lee, because Suzanne has actually done an enormous amount of work on this going back to, I would say, back end of last year, October time, we probably started with this. So it's quite a long process to go through. There's various things that have been done to assemble it, and predominantly, or primarily, I should perhaps say, things like checking the other strategies that you mentioned a moment ago, the things that are in those action plans, in those strategies, where necessary, do come through and are picked up in the business plan. And also things in the capital programme. We've got major projects, we make sure they kind of filter through. So there is a, if you like, a synergy between what the high level aims and objectives of the council are in the corporate plan and what our other programmes or activity actually say. So we support the documents, and you should see a good level of consistency in the business plan. One of the things I would say about this one is that we've had a look through at the previous three, and we've cross-checked them to the corporate plan to see whether we've actually, by the time we've done all four, we'll have done all the things that the council approved in the corporate plan. And our cross-checking indicates that the vast majority we will have done. Don't mean we'll have done every single thing in every detail, but all of the headline issues that were set out in the corporate plan have been addressed through the successive business plans. I think the only thing we couldn't actually find being completed was a master plan for Shepshed. Mm-hmm. But everything else that's in the corporate plan we've actually done. And maybe there is a master plan for Shepshed that I don't know about, but someone's going to tell me in a moment. So I think that's really important, because, as I say, the purpose of the business plan is to make sure that the things that the council set out to do are done. Of course, the other thing you will see in there are performance indicators, either the business plan indicators or the KPIs, and they can always be a little bit contentious, because we've looked at how they're set. Basically, are they smart? We've tried through successive plans to make sure that the actual actions that are set out in the bulk of the report do relate clearly to the corporate plan, so you can read across left to right and it does make sense. Are the things that we've identified as measures for the are they realistic, are they measurable, specific, etc., etc.? And one of the questions we've looked at the management team is whether the targets themselves or the indicators themselves are the right ones, whether they're challenging enough. Some of them we use the indicator because it's a national target, so it's not a locally set one. So things like recycling rates, you will notice that I don't think we've yet met the recycling target for Charnwood, but of course that's not just because it is, but the fact is it is a national target, and we're always looking to make local arrangements to get as close to that target as we can. Others we set ourselves. So one of the jobs that's done in the preparation is to see whether that remains challenging, and so we choose to maintain at the levels they're at, even though we've not met them, because it's where we would like to get to as a council in that regard. One particular one would be sickness absence, because we do take management of attendance seriously in the council, and we've got a target that we have made some good progress over the corporate plan period in terms of the amount of time lost through absence, but we're not at the 6.5 days I think it now stands. So we try and set some challenging ones, but you can always ask us why they're not more challenging, or why haven't we just added more on or made it harder on us. So there's a degree of pragmatism in there where we can actually control the performance more ourselves, then it's up to us to self-challenge, and for you as scrutiny to challenge us on those things. You'll notice there's a couple of new ones in there. I think it was mentioned a moment ago, the 8-week 5-year supply for housing, and the 8-week 16-week targets have now been included in the business plan. Because that's an area of particular interest that members have raised, you want to see that, and as was said under the previous item, those actual figures will be looked at quarterly now through the performance panel, so there's greater sort of oversight of that for you, the greater insight of that. The detailer says a lot of it, we try to balance it, so it's not all in one service area or under one theme, but obviously we still got to make sure we pick everything up as we should do, so we don't try and make it particularly neat and tidy, but we want to try and make sure that we haven't got sort of 50 things in one area and one in another one, just so that it kind of feels balanced, sensible, realistic. As I say, Suzanne's done an awesome amount of work with our heads of service. There's been a lot of effort put into identifying the actions this year. So for that level, I'll leave that to Suzanne if you've got questions on any of those.
Thank you very much.
Can I just ask a question?
Sorry, Councillor Luke Smith.
Can I question on page 27? I'm trying to understand the figures. If you look at KI7, is it?
Yes.
Well, that shows the number of days it takes to process something. I understand that. What I don't understand is the one below it, KI8, percentage of council tax collected.
In terms of the target set, you mean?
Well, all right, but say the target, is that for the year or for the first 9 months?
They are quarterly targets, but they're what we call cumulative targets, so they're sort of added on quarterly, so you have quarter 1, then quarter 1 and quarter 2
okay,
together.
Okay, so what is the white quarter? Is that quarter 3? You've got quarter 1, quarter 2.
No, so that is purely, page 27 is purely an example within the member's guide to the performance management system. So that's not an actual snapshot of real data. That's just purely for example purposes to showcase what a report would look like. But in this particular report, it would be quarter 1, quarter 2, and then you'd have quarter 3 with the target against quarter 3 next to it.
So the target of 85.48%, that is for a year, isn't it?
That's the gag, yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
I'm assuming this particular page doesn't actually...
It's an illustration.
Excuse
me, because of the tape, can you introduce yourselves before you speak?
Councillor Morgan interrupting, apologies.
Yeah, some of them are cumulative and some of them are same on their own as a quarter.
So Suzanne Kinder, sorry. Just to confirm, in the new business plan, and hopefully it is in the version you've got as an appendix, I have included where it's cumulative target. That's something the performance panel did ask for, so it has been included for the future business plan.
Thank you.
Councillor Brenda Seaton, I'd like to ask you, Suzanne, to talk me through the spotlight tool. Because I've actually never seen this elected member performance management guide, as a guide, a fantastic reading it is too. But then it comes to the online tool, and I would like to know more about that, please. Thank you, Suzanne again.
This particular guide was produced off the recommendation of performance panel, and some of the members asked for a specific guide in which they could refer to, particularly new members of the panel, hence how it began. It has been circulated to performance panel members, but if I'm being honest, I don't know if it was circulated wider than that, hence you might not have seen it before. So the performance management tool what we use here at the council, it's we brand it as Spotlight, but it's actually through a company called Mitratech, and they develop, it's a software development company who do a small database system for us. And we utilise this to input the corporate business plan objectives and indicators on an annual basis, and then services will then input quarterly data or commentary, as you see in the performance reports, into the system, and it can provide real live data as and when. So everybody has access to Spotlight, all staff and all members do have access to Spotlight, so you are welcome to check performance at any point in time throughout the year. I think what must happen is that we communicate that better though, and I'll take that away.
As I say, I was relieved to know that it wasn't just me that I'd got absolutely no idea on this. It's gone out of my head. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. There's a wealth of detail quite clearly here, and some very precise detail. So I hope this question won't sound impolite. I'll try to put it as politely as I can. If the average reasonable person in the street said to any of us, well, Councillor, how do you know that all this detail is accurate? It's a very sort of, if you like, disbelieving sounding question. If I were challenged with that question by somebody, I'd like to know the answer. How would you know the answer to it?
In terms of how would you prove it's correct?
Yes, in a sense, yes. If a member of the public said to me, well, how do you know, Councillor, this is all this information is correct? I'm not saying it isn't correct, but I'd like to know, apart from my saying, it is correct. I know it's correct. rather than just asserting that to somebody, I'd like to have a little bit more, as it were, sort of depth in my response if I have to give one.
Okay. Jeff Parker, what you would find is that as Susanna said, heads of service update this data on a usually a quarterly basis.
Right.
And underlying that are the metrics that they've collected.
Right.
Whether it's about, let's just pick something like council tax collection. So obviously there are real council tax customers who are paying council tax, and we know how many council tax accounts there are and how many people have paid within the detailed statistics that we've got, and all of that data and information is auditable. So it's possible, as an individual member, you would never have any grasp of that detail or see any of it, but you can be assured that the checks and controls in the system do exist. Even if they're only the ability to go and double check and audit, but there are underlying calculations that support all of these things that are in here. So if you pick anyone, take waste recycling again, that will come from our contractors,
right,
in terms of the numbers of households and the tonnages collected and the total tonnages, and so all of the underlying information does exist. And I guess one way to get assurance about that is to have something a bit more elaborate on a particular one through the scrutiny system to give you some assurance that the detail and the background information is all there.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you,
Councillor. I just add one other thing. Quite a lot of our targets obviously are referenced for third party organisations as well. So for instance, council tax collection, we're obviously collecting not only for ourselves but also for other bodies, so police, fire, and the county council. So obviously if we were publishing data that was out of date or inaccurate, there are other bodies who obviously receive money from us from those council tax collections who their own scrutiny processes would be no doubt picking up the fact that our figures were inaccurate, because they'd be expecting some income from our percentage rates of collection. So apart from our own audit process, there are obviously third-party auditors that are actually going through the same sort of processes and checks. And actually, when you go through a lot of the KPIs, there may be third-party organisations within the county, there may actually be national bodies, and sometimes, obviously, on some of the planning targets, for instance, well, those are actually challengeable through court and through the planning system. So actually, they are open to public scrutiny in a way that, to be frank, many organisations wouldn't have that level of scrutiny in such a rigorous way.
Thank you. I mean, it's quite clear then, if the member of the public I'm referring to could be told exactly that. These things are auditable if one really wanted to dig into them like that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody got any other questions?
Did you have a question on page 14?
I did. But first of all, I want to actually go to page 31 of your appendix B. And you've got corporate plan outcome on here, the column on the left-hand side. So the statements on here, we'll just take the first one, but it could also be the fourth one. Encourage new jobs to the borough through promoting the delivery of the science park and enterprise zone and encouraging new businesses to towns and villages. Okay, I'm glad to see that we've got some towns and villages that are outside Loughborough and but still in Charnwood. And then it says business plan action is to ensure industrial and business units are fit for purpose. Are they our industrial and business units?
Yes.
Yeah. So if so, they are ours. Have we got any in the science park?
No.
Okay. So the corporate plan outcome mentions specifically the science park, an enterprise zone, yet the business action plan doesn't mention the science park. Should that not be included in there? And what actually could you do to encourage the science park development? Thank you.
Okay, well, Jeff Parker again. So yes, we could put something in there about the science or enterprise park. We try and make it a small indicator that we're not actually directly delivering that development. But I think the first thing I'll take you back to is this is number four of the four.
Yeah.
If you went through one, two and three, without knowing off the top of my head, but I would hope we've made previous references to the science and enterprise part, because we did actually allocate, from memory, £250,000 about 3 years ago for development, and we were instrumental in bringing forward something called the ATIC at that time, which went through the council's decision making process, and we were a joint funder for that. So because that has happened and was kind of ticked off in year one or year two, we wouldn't have that in year four. But if we were looking to do something in this forthcoming year specifically about science and enterprise park, we'll put that in. It might be difficult to have a measurable criterion for what the success would be if it's not direct investment, because what's really happening is there's a great deal of ongoing work in conjunction with their two other partners now to deliver the science enterprise park, because following its enterprise zone designation, we have an agreement with Leicester City Council and the Leicester and Leicestershire LEP to deliver that development together.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of work being done there. In terms of a business plan deliverable, there are individual programmes of work for each of the sites in the enterprise zone, and we could, I suppose, identify things that might be expected to be delivered and achieved in this next financial year from there. So it would be possible to do something.
Okay.
Can I add one other thing on that? So obviously the corporate plan was written in 2015, 2016, was approved by Cabinet and Council in 2016. Actually, some of those things that are actually in the left-hand column are actually now out of date on the basis of they're inaccurate. They're accurate when they were written, but for instance, give you one example, the enterprise zone reference in the corporate plan outcome actually the enterprise zone during that year became actually a multiple enterprise zone within Loughborough, for instance. So the science and enterprise park is only one element. There's also the old AstraZeneca site, which is actually the other site. So when this was put together, I suspect probably the AstraZeneca site hadn't been included at that point when it was being drafted. And as a result, it doesn't reference, for instance, the Charnwood campus. It only references the science and enterprise park, which is only one element of the enterprise zone within the Charnwood borough. There are three sites, obviously, within the enterprise zone. One in the city, which is around the space park, one at the university, which is the Science Enterprise Park, and the Charnwood campus itself. So just as an example, obviously when certain things are drafted, and the corporate plan being 4 years old, or coming out for 4 years old, through its drafting process, things change, things move on. And as a result, the business plan tries to adapt to those changes, and the fact that things are maybe slightly, things have happened and changed, business plan obviously tries to adapt and what's it?
Okay. So it's out of date. What I'm looking at.
So the corporate plan by default, because it's 4 years coming up 4 years old, things have happened in the last 3.5 years since the corporate plan was written.
Okay. Well, I can understand that it is out of date, but I would have thought that it would have been kept up to date because it's something that's done annually, isn't it?
Just in terms of the documentation in front of you, the first column, the corporate plan outcome column, those words are all cut and paste from the corporate plan itself. That's where they come from. The other columns are really describing the contemporary, you know, the planned actions that we are proposing for the next year. So as to get back to your question, Chair, if you feel the scrutiny that we should put something more in the year four business plan regarding delivery of the science and enterprise part, if that's a recommendation you'd want to make as a scrutiny body, then that's why we're here tonight.
Looking at these, I don't know the value of them now. and I would have thought if this is something that's taking officers' time, it's something that's obviously very important to Charnwood to show the progression of the business plan whenever it was written. Obviously, there's been developments over that time, and I think your business plan should reflect those developments, and just looking at that, I don't know that you've delivered on any of what you've just said.
That was what I was trying to express in my previous point. We've had the development that's taken place in previous plans.
Yeah.
So we did something in year two, so we'll mark that as complete.
Mm.
So we won't just put something in year three and year four because it's a corporate plan for 4 years. So if we did everything in year one, we won't mention it again because it's completed.
No, I understand
that. But unless you know what's happened in years one, two and three, when you look at year four, you won't see that entire picture. Okay. What I was saying to you earlier on is we've done that as officers. We've looked back. I don't think we've looked at it necessarily to say, did we tick off everything in which year, but have we actually addressed all the things that were in the corporate plan, and we've satisfied ourselves as officers that we have.
We have. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you very much. Just following on from that then, I understand it. I can appreciate what you're saying, that the corporate plan outcome column is the four-year plan, and then the next column along is snapshot, not that I can say it, of each of those years. And I do understand that, but I also understand what the Chair is saying, that it's difficult. If you drop into this, it's because it's year four, it's more noticeable.
Yeah.
If you drop into this on year four, you don't. It, for all the world, it looks like we've done nothing with the science park, for example. And I wondered if there was something we could do with the left-hand column, the corporate plan outcome. I still think it should have that exact wording because that is the exact thing from the corporate plan. But perhaps we could put science park, say, in square brackets, enterprise zone square brackets, because it's already been done, and therefore we would identify that those things have already been done. Therefore, we're on year four. The only thing we've got left to do is the industrial units, etc. And here we are. Here's an action for it, and here's the measurement, etc.
I wonder if that's possible.
If it's a recommendation you want to make, I don't see why not, if we're happy to change the corporate plan board. You know, just like that.
But am I being annoying from an officer's point of view? Is that something that because you're already living it, you already know that was in year one? I mean, actually, to be fair, most of us know science part was in year one because it was a big thing. But further down the track, there are other things where, for example, I've got one on page 36, I think. Page 36. It's page 37. So it says, celebrate the rich culture of the borough in the first column, which is a perfectly sensible plan, but it only talks about Loughborough in the actual actions for this. Now, I would imagine that's because we've done all the other things in years 1 to 3, but we don't know it. So it looks like we're only focusing on Loughborough, when in actual fact we've focused on absolutely everywhere, thank you very much. It's just we've only got this little bit about Loughborough left to do in year 4.
Okay, Suzanne Kinder. I think it's important to remember that each of the actions, so in the second column of the business plan, that's just a snapshot of corporate activity that's taking place over the next 12 months
yes.
to meet the corporate plan aims,
yeah.
as have the previous 3 years before that. So it is that's the key activity that is being taken to meet that particular corporate plan objective.
Yeah.
Now, we're always open and transparent with all of our business plans, our annual reports and our performance reporting. So in terms of finding that trail throughout the past 4 years, that would be quite easy enough for me to be able to pinpoint somebody in the direction to showcase that direction of travel. Like you say, we are in year 4 and this is the deliverables of year 4 towards that corporate plan objective. And
yes.
there will then be new objectives set, obviously, within the new corporate plan.
But just to come back on that, if I may, absolutely, that's very good. But the difficulty is that if you're dropping into this in year 4, say you've just won a by-election, you've just arrived back on the scene, you haven't seen the previous 3 years, you'd probably have to look at the previous 3 years' business plans to understand the full picture. Just a thought.
Well, can I just ask, who is the audience for this? Is it just intended for in-house, or is this going in the is the public domain? It'll go in.
This goes to cabinet.
Yeah.
For approval. So it is the council's business plan. So it's a public document in the public domain. So any resident, citizen who's interested in the or partner who's interested in the performance of the council and the plans of the council, they are the audience for this. Just on the previous point, if I may,
yeah.
Some things are singular events. We will produce a master plan and quote that one. And some are things that tend to recur, maybe in slightly different shapes, but they're still thematically the same thing. So I'm sure we can take away an action to indicate where things have happened in the past. But if we're allowed a little bit of flexibility for those reasons, because not everything is a one-off or forever. So I think if we were able to articulate that within the document somehow, if we could go away and think about that, taking the point that the reader needs to understand what's gone before to make sense of what's being presented now, perhaps we could put another appendix in or something that would set some of that out, or some way of doing it. But
sorry, thank
to
you.
Address that point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. I've been whispered in my ear that that we've all got to agree that can be done. I think it needs to be. This doesn't mean that much to me to read it, and I'm a councillor. It doesn't. I mean, listen to and communicate with residents and act on their concerns. That's brilliant. Okay. That's your 4-year plan, yeah? And then it says undertake quarterly satisfaction surveys to maintain. Well, did you do that in year 1, year 2, year 3 or year 4? Or have you only just decided to do that?
That's an example of what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
So we will find that if you look at the annual reports for previous years, that have reported on the consultations that took place in the year, the main issues, and I suspect one year might be about planning and another year might be about some other subject. So it's not a single consultation, but we do have a consultation
okay.
process and protocol, and there are requirements upon services, either voluntarily or statutorily, to consult on matters. We do record all of that, and then where that relates back to the business plan, we will have picked that up in the narrative descriptions of what's happened in that year, and then therefore it's visible. But to take the previous point, the reader would have to look on the internet and read our three existing business plans and annual reports to get a full picture of that. But yes, it happens regularly throughout the period of the sort of plan.
Okay, so can we agree in this panel that we do give a degree of flexibility to be able to reflect the work that has already been done on the business plan? Whether it's, I don't know what square brackets are supposed to indicate, but can we agree to do that? I don't know whether they have a hidden meaning. I'll come to you in.
Yeah.
Michael.
I think the normal way in which you approach this kind of point where you're looking for some changes to a draft document, you've got two options really. One is to note the undertaking that the Chief Executive has given to look at this in a flexible way. I think the point has been grasped that you're looking at the document to include some recognition of what has been achieved in the previous three business plans, so that the document becomes more easy to understand for someone coming to that document rather than having the benefit of the other three and the associated annual reports to refer to. So the Chief Executive has made that, given that undertaking. You may just wish to sort of, your formal decision is to note that. Your other option is to make a recommendation to the Cabinet and present that at the Cabinet meeting when the business plan comes forward to Cabinet. So those are basically your two options, and depending on the issue, you've used both in the past.
I think I would prefer the first option, and would the rest of the committee prefer that one?
Yes. I would.
Is it on this subject, Ted, or Richard? On this specific subject?
It is.
Yeah, Ted, please.
Earlier on, Suzanne, you said that this was, these were just a snapshot of some of the things that projects that we were doing. Mm-hmm. What's the reason we can't have all of them listed?
This is a corporate document, and I think if we listed absolutely every single thing that the council was undertaking, we'd be have pages and pages and pages. So these are the key headline things that what we would say is provides a holistic picture of what the council intends to undertake over the next 12 months. As Jeff said earlier, the detail of that and the other additional activities sit within the team and service plans. So not everything features within this corporate plan. It is what we call that snapshot and headline activities that meet the corporate aims and objectives.
You see, because when I look at this, the thing that strikes me as I was reading, if I was a member of the public reading this, was that there's almost a table missing, because it says, for example, the first one, measurable success criteria, 100% of industrial units are fit for purpose. We didn't say how many industrial. It might have been we've done one, in which case we've got one renovated or checked for electrical safety. So we've got 100% of our industrial units. To the bottom of the page, 2,000 trees provided for residents to plant in their gardens. Did 2,000 get given away and plant given away, or 1,000 and we've still got 1,000 to go? How come there isn't another table that actually tells you, for example, 100% of industrial units? You know, we had 23, so you've got 23 there, but there seems to be something missing. It seems to be quite generic. And
I think
there seems to be an awful lot of information missing, for example, delivery of 10 major festivals events. What constitutes major? What are these events? You know, for example, and then it goes back to what earlier other councillors were talking about. Surely you could fit in these boxes what you've done in the previous year. So, for example, it could have been, and let's just go back to what you were saying about flexibility. But it could have been, hypothetically, that trees were granted every year. I mean, I know that they weren't, but say, for example, they just happened to be. It might have been in year one, we gave 1,000 away. Year two, we might have given 500 away. It'd be interesting for people to know what was being done every year. The empty homes officer, obviously, he came in about 2 years ago. So if that box had 1, 2, 3, and 4, it could have been 0, 0, 25 and this year 50.
May I just interject you at that point, sorry, Susan Kinder? So, for instance, you said about the tree giveaway one, just to use that as an example. So I know that hasn't been in any of the previous three business plans. That is unique and new to this one, whereas other things within there are, and I take your point actually, you if you don't know the background, you're not sure what's a new indicator and objective, or whether it's a rollover or an existing one. So I don't know whether the panel would find it useful moving forward to have some sort of little indicator on there to say whether it's a rolling objective or whether it's a brand new objective. Would that answer your question?
That would be helpful, and also to build onto that as well, is to have this split, so you could see that again, given the flexibility whereby, I mean, for example, say in the next corporate plan we continue with an empty homes officer, then at the end of 2023 we could look at, people could look at this, we could look at this, people could look at this, mm-hmm. and see, you know, year 150, year 275, year 330. Because at the moment, with these, some of these, we just don't know how it compares year on year.
Are you almost saying there, whereas where we normally do an annual report, there's a need for almost a 4-year annual report?
It's I can't think of the word, it's cumulative. So for example, year one in 2019 to 2020, that will just have one, but 2020 to 2021 will also have the figures from 2019-20, and then in 21-22 it'll have 19-20 and 2021.
Jeff Parker.
I take the point. I think we have to understand what this is, what this is, and what it is. Mm-hmm. If this was the annual accounts, I wouldn't give you the previous 3 years' annual accounts, because you're not being asked to approve last year's accounts, you're being asked to approve this year's accounts. So this is next year's business plan. It covers the period from April 2019 to March 2020. After that, there'll be a new corporate plan and a brand new business plan. It is an annual thing. So we could elaborate with lots more information about what we've done in the past and what we might do in the far distant future, or the middle future, but it ceases to be a business plan. Most businesses have an annual plan that sets out the key things that they're looking to achieve in that year, and that's all this is. I appreciate there's lots of other questions about how did we do last year, how did we do 3 years ago, but those aren't really business plan questions. They are deeper, if you like, bigger questions about how the direction of travel of the council and all of that, and you can pick any of those you like for scrutiny if you're interested in them, but this is not the encyclopedia of Charnwood.
My answer to that would be this, that we're a publicly accountable body. We're not a private company, and the public want to see year on year.
Excuse me, please. Thank you very much. This is a forward-looking plan. It's for 19-20. It's for the coming April to the next April. And so, it's, as I say, it's forward-looking, and it's using targets from previous years, and this is how it's being set out. I don't quite understand what you are wanting from this, but I've got a feeling it's not going to sit well within a forward-looking plan.
I would politely disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got the, if you look on page 41, you've got the indicators there from the business plan. And the target is, it will just go to those trees. The target is 2,000 trees to give away within the year. Now, I picked six of those trees up. And
trees for councillors.
Yes, but aren't
I'm a triple hatter. Well, there you go.
Aren't these next year's trees, and you're all talking about last year's?
Yes,
trees?
I'm talking about last year's. But well done. But if they have 2,000 trees a year, they didn't know how many people were going to turn up at Central Park in Syston. It wasn't quite nice weather that day, if I remember rightly, because my daughter picked them up for me because I couldn't be bothered. to have a quarter, one quarter, two quarters, three quarter, four target on those might be a waste of time. But as long as we give 2,000 away in that year, that is the main objective to that. So if we're going on that, I can't pick out at every but I think we've gone as far as we can go on the information that's being given to us.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I disagree, because for example, you could say that, you know, we'll do this as a result of the fact that we've done this and this the previous years.
Okay. That is, yeah, right. Councillor Shepherd.
I think part of the discussion the past few minutes really for me focuses or begins with page 30, and the audience is a bit, Madam Chairman, for this document. Now on page 30 it tells us the business plan will be used by directorates and elected members. It's therefore authors and members. In other parts of the discussion, we've been saying, correctly, this is a public document we want to look at. And I think that's part of the difficulty. Now, as a member, sitting here listening to explanations, I can understand better what that left-hand column means. It's the intended outcome from our four-year corporate plan. I can understand the action plan is for 1920. And that's helpful, but if we are really wanting to make this sort of information a little bit more apprehensible for that person in the street, I wonder whether we've quite found the right way of putting it. If that's really our intention, to give you just one example, and sort of this seems rather simplistic. If this was for people to find more easy to understand, rather than measurable success criteria, would we say, what will success look like? Now, that's a rather perhaps feeble example, but I'm trying to find a way of expressing what I'm driving at, which is, how far is this easy for somebody in the street to get into? It's not okay for us hearing explanations. I think I'll pause there before I, A, ramble any more, and B, contradict myself, neither being very good outcomes or outputs.
Jonathan Morgan.
Just a quick response to that. So across the council, we obviously produce lots of different reports, some of which are specifically for committees, and maybe understandable or possibly not to the general public, who are not used to some of the reports that are produced. But they are specific to the need of some of the committees, and often the committees actually obviously, you know, request certain information on particular subjects. May not necessarily be of interest to the general public, but are obviously of interest to particular committees. Some other documentation is used as a tool for us as an organisation, a corporate entity, but also the elected members, to try and actually assess what the council's doing, which is the business plan, or with regard to council's performance committee, obviously looking backwards at how we performed against the business plan. There are obviously documentation that's produced through print media, through social media, through all sorts of different mediums by our comms team, which is aimed at our residents, which is aimed at a much wider audience. And through that, we try and actually make a lot of this information understandable. And so there are times in the year, and certainly we produce documents on a regular basis, obviously through the magazines that are put out, through school residents, but also online, through emails, where a lot of this information may not necessarily put out as a single document, because to be frank, I suspect the readership will probably plummet if we're attempting to try and transmit it all in one go. Mm. But what we're trying to do is take out what I think probably residents want to see. You know, for instance, every other year we have the survey of residents that we use to actually measure their understanding of services, etc. And that information we use to guide our communication team as far as how they communicate the core information that we have as a council to them as residents. And obviously at this time of year they're getting a bit of that through the post at the moment in the way of council tax bills, for instance, and that's actually quite a good way of actually assessing our performance. I think it comes through in different ways. It's this document is useful hopefully for this committee, but I wouldn't doubt whilst it is publicly available,
yes,
it may not necessarily be the document that is a good communication tool for some of the information it contains. But we do produce other bits of communication material throughout the year that communicates that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Chair, if I may say, I sort of think it's indecipherable. It's in fairly plain English. So there is some local government language in it, but actually collecting 97% of the council tax being a target, whatever it is, I think most people do understand those things.
Yeah.
And just on the general communication point, I'm perhaps repeating something we've covered already, but we do have, after the fact, annual reports. So for the three previous business plans, there are annual reports that set out what was completed.
Mm-hmm.
We've had looked at one, excuse me, quite recently for last year, that sets out what was achieved and what wasn't achieved. I appreciate that's not all in one compendium. You have to read three reports, and I do understand if you're looking at the fourth year of the corporate plan, having already completed the previous three, the context of that is important. But I am a bit worried about having to sort of repeat all four in one, because when we get to year one again, which will be next time, there will be no history on that logic.
No.
The story will have been lost forever. So I do think we need to think through how we want to present information, whatever medium we use, what is the message we're trying to get across.
Right, Councillor Harris.
I think it's yours on the same
just
topic.
On this, just yeah. A one-liner, because I agree completely what the Chief Exec just said, but I wonder if we could just look at page 31 again. Pink line, pink bar across the top. I wonder if that could just be changed slightly to say corporate plan 2015 to 2019
yes,
outcome,
yes.
Business plan 2019 to 2020 action,
yeah.
And then it would be more obvious then that it's just a snapshot.
Yeah, it's those yeah. first two
thank
columns,
you.
Isn't it?
It
really
is.
Thank you.
And yeah, that would be a simple.
And then forget my square brackets. That was a bad idea.
That's a really, really straightforward
yeah.
idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Chair. Is it possible that some of the actions could set themselves up to fail because of factors beyond our control? I'm thinking, for example, an excellent one like the 2,000 trees and action within an excellent outcome, but fails because of outside factors like people don't know about it, or like the chair can't be bothered, or haven't got a daughter to pick them up or whatever. So,
yeah.
What do we? How do we assess the success of that? And if could we just go? Could we explain it? Maybe it could be our fault in the end because we didn't publicise it well enough or whatever. I'm not commenting on the particular outcome, I'm just using that as an example.
There's a couple of things with that, Chair, if I may. Jeff Parker, Chief Executive again. So some indicators we've separated out from the direct and indirect where we can't control the result. We may have an influence, maybe a little bit of influence or quite a lot of influence, but we tried to separate that out, I think, last year and now again this year. And the other thing, which is judgmental, but hopefully it's an informed judgment, is I said at the beginning, we try to make these smart, and they are in smart, is realistic. So we do spend time looking at these things that we are setting out to do and forming, it is a judgment, but whether we think we can realistically do that with the resources we've got and the things that we know. We're very blunt, if you like, in the way that we report, because it's a black and white reporting. We've either done it or we haven't by the end of the year. So we set the bar quite high. But of course, yeah, this is a plan. So things that are in a plan won't necessarily happen. Or what we're trying to say with this is what we intend to do. This is where we're going to focus our energy and resources. But that's not quite the same thing as saying we can't guarantee someone's going to take the 2,000 trees away and they're all going to survive into big healthy, you know, specimens in 50 years time. But we'll do our best. Well, if there's only 1,950, we'll just say there were 1,950 and we didn't quite make it. But there is a degree there.
Okay.
Suzanne Kinder. Also, just to comment that these sorts of things are picked up through quarterly reporting at Performance Panel as well. So just to use the tree example, if Matt knew halfway through the year that we were nowhere near that delivery, he'd be required to report to Performance Panel to outline the mitigating action he's going to be taking in order to try and address the problem. So that quarterly monitoring does support that realistic target as well.
Okay.
Councillor Palin.
Yeah, Councillor Andrew Paddy. I think, you know, we've been around the houses, whatever. I think it is quite clear that columns A and B or 1 and 2 just need rewording. Mm, yeah. And the Chief Exec's actually used the words, we've got some flexibility in there. Mm. And just going back to what Suzanne said, with the delivery of the trees will be monitored quarterly, which is quite clear in the document, quarter 1. Quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4, we would be looking for a figure of 2,000, which is your deliverable. So I think it's all in there, and I think quite right, as you have said, this is delivered to the residents in many, many forms, so correspondence, surveys, newspaper, media, whatever. So I think, yeah, I'm okay with the flexibility approach.
And obviously changing the wordings at the top just to make it a little bit clearer.
Yes.
As Councillor Hunt suggested. Exactly. Can I just draw your attention then to the Charnwood Borough Council Elected Members Performance Guide, Appendix A, page 17. This is obviously, this could be a good paper for you, Richard, when that person comes and asks you, how do I know that? Because that's what it's setting out here to actually explain to you. Why do we manage corporate performance at Charnwood Borough Council? And it also enables us to assure, etc. How does it link to the council's strategic priorities and plans? By this time, she's walked off and carried on doing her shopping or whatever. The member of public that's asked you, I think. The benefits of undertaking performance management. So you could use this document. I think it does explain it. You've got on page 20 a step-by-step approach to it, plus explaining what Spotlight is and the corporate performance objectives and indicators on the back page, and then what is a performance indicator that explains it all. And then you've got the definition of that. So part of this remit of this panel tonight is to agree that this is a satisfactory business planning approach. And to okay that paper.
Okay. I hope so.
Do you think it's a good paper? Is there anything you'd like to change on that? No? Okay. So that's part of that. So thank you very much. I think it does. It does step by step, say. Now I want to refer to those questions, please. And that is on page 13. There were specific questions that were asked, that noted down at the policy scrutiny group in December. So I feel like I've said this before. Too, huh? And there were certain questions asked on there that some of them don't provide, I don't feel, adequate answers to those questions. The case in point was, and I'll say it again, on page 14, where it says, it was observed that the action to deliver the customer services programme in line with the project milestones was amber, and yet no further meetings have been held or arranged. The answer to this was just to say the majority of the customer services programme has been completed, 5 out of 7 projects, and the final two are progressing. Apart from not knowing what the final two are, then it says the next stage of the programme is being considered alongside the recommendations and feedbacks from the LGA Peer Challenge. I don't know what any of that means.
I'm sorry, Jo. Would you like me to try and...
Well, I know the Local Government Association Peer Challenge, but what has that got to do with our customer service programme?
Quite a lot, I think.
Has it? Right.
Yeah. So this customer service programme referenced there is actually the second one. And I think we started it about 3 years ago. Now, when we did that, we identified a number of areas, some quite big things for the council to do in terms of change and some more modest ones. But one of the big ones was getting our services online. So making sure that you could transact and get information you need from the council, whichever service it is, using the web, basically. And that programme's been running for, well, as I say, 3 years now. It's still going. And what we've done is, I couldn't reel off all 7, but the 2 that are outstanding, one was what we called the document management project. We got a certain amount of financial support for that from the Transformation Fund, I think it was. And we employed somebody to help us with that. They got to a certain point in it. We didn't complete everything that we wanted to do with document management, so that's kind of in abeyance, if you like, we can call that for a moment. And the other one is on customer service standards, which is a project that's underway now and is reaching completion. So we will have done 6 of the projects, and one of them we got, as I say, let's say half or 3/4, because it's hard to judge how much document management we've really done. So the peer challenge happened about this time last year, and we agreed, members did, and the SMT did, we all felt the recommendations there were a suitable set of recommendations to take forward. And they are really our new customer service programme, is to do those things. And we need to, I do, as we need primarily to convert those things into another programme. And one of the things that was in there, if you will, members recall, was a lot of work on transformation, they called it. Transformation and efficiency, and the medium-term financial strategy that was approved last autumn had a transformation and efficiency plan in it. But there are 2 or 3 strands to that. One is around accommodation, what we need to do in the long term with our office needs for the future workforce, which wasn't in the customer service programme. It was in the first one, but didn't really work its way all the way through the second one. We've got a people strategy now, which has got quite a lot in there about the way that we work, be that our succession planning and training and development, all that kind of thing, but also what we've now termed smart working, and if anybody's read one, Charnwood or something in there about smart working today, but also the digital agenda still needs to be completed. So the proposal is that we come up with a third customer service programme that will pick up the remnants, if there are any, of this one. That's the only one I think would be document management, but that will get picked up under the digital strand and put together the other peer challenge issues that we need to address and have a new programme, basically. So we think we've kind of exhausted the previous one after its 3 years, and we expect to launch that programme soon, before the end of the financial year. So that sort of clarify it a little bit. We think we've pretty much done the old programme, and we need to start thinking of further changes that the council needs to make.
Okay. Thank you for that. Are there any other comments or questions that people would like to say?
Oh, no, please.
Councillor Parton.
Page 14. It was observed that the action to deliver the customer service programme in line with the project milestones was amber, and yet no further meetings have been held or arranged. It says, the majority of the customer service programme has been completed.
Excuse me, Mr. Councillor Parton, we've just done that one.
Oh, you, I thought you were talking about the one on page 13.
No, it was
sorry.
No. Specifically that one on the customer service.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's just in the pre-meeting. I was going to talk about that one. Sorry, no problem.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, thank you very much for coming and going through that for me. Thank you very much for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.